Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Welcome to Bois. I am Mike. This
and
is
Rusty
over there.
Yep.
Rusty, we are all the way season 4, episode 22. What do 22. We got? One more?
Two more.
Okay.
Just two more.
Because I was a little confused this morning when I watched it. It always goes over to the next episode before I can
stop it.
And there was no bell, no yell at the beginning of that. So I thought, well, I wonder what's happening with 23. But now that you tell me there's 24, that
makes
sense.
Yep, there's 24. And this one is 22.
Flush with power.
The low flow
Yeah, this situation. Is the low flow situation. Yeah. Now, before we get started, Mason had said that he didn't know he ever used a low flow toilet.
Yeah, we're discussing low flow toilets. He goes, well, I don't know if I've ever used one. Mm-hmm. And then I explained to him, so most toilets nowadays are probably low flow toilets unless you go and purchase and build and do something on your own to where it's not. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever pissed or shat in a toilet that has two buttons.
I loved him in Star Trek.
Pissed or shat, yeah. Piss gang. if you have a toilet that has two buttons on the top of the commode or whatever where the lid is, it'll have two buttons. One of them is generally for flushing your piss, and then the other one would be for flushing your shat. So
real quick, the EPA estimates that homeowners save as much as $110 per year on their water bills simply by switching to low-flow toilets. That's less than $10 a month.
But that's so they could waste it somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't want that. It's less than $10 a month. I will pay your $9 EPA to have a toilet that goes down the first time.
To where it rips the turd in half on the way down kind of thing. Because if you have a real big turd and it's like in a U-shape, the low flows just won't break it to pull it down. You got to have the real good suction from the high flow toilets. A lot of piss and shit humor today.
I do appreciate a good high flow toilet. Like you get like the ones here on the 21st floor of this building, you can tell that gravity plays a big part in that because when they flush, they go, whoa. I mean, they're huge flushes. But even that, every once in a while, will catch a stray. You know? And so these things, dear God, these are awful.
Awful.
It's unintended consequences is what it is, right? I mean, we're going to save water. We're going to do this. But they don't work, so I have to flush them 6 times. Well, then
it's not really saving water. If you got to flush the toilet twice, you just wasted water. Even a low flow, you're flushing it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, because you double a low flow,
it's still more than a single flush would be on a regular toilet.
And just a small soapbox. What do you call those things you put your feet on?
Oh, I know exactly
squatty
what you're
potty.
Squatty potty.
It's a squatty potty box. Yeah. It's just a small box. Why are we reinventing things that already work?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Toilets work. Light bulbs work.
Yeah, they've worked the same way for. And matter of fact, with light bulbs, there was a great light bulb conspiracy.
Yeah.
So light bulbs actually can they can make them and design them to burn three times longer than what they burn with current filaments. They have filament that'll burn for you know.
Well, yeah, it's ever, been 200 almost. Years since we invented a light bulb.
And they have the one light bulb at some firehouse that's been lit consistently for like 100 plus years.
Yeah.
And that just shows that what it is the light bulb, the great light bulb conspiracy was all these light bulb companies got together and said, well, if we...
Big light bulb.
Well, it is. It's a real thing. They all got together and said, well, if we just keep making light bulbs that last forever, we'll all go out of business pretty quick.
Yeah.
So they all came together and said...
Oh, sure.
Because one company always tried to make a longer... Oh, this light bulb lasts longer. This light bulb lasts longer. But they all got together and said, well, we'll make light bulbs last X amount of time. That way we can all still continue to be in the business of selling light bulbs.
Yeah.
So they sell you an inferior product just so you'll keep buying their inferior product kind of thing.
Illuminati.
It is. Illuminated.
Illuminated Illuminati. All right, so we start with a big panning in of, we see the whole city of Arlen.
Yeah, beautiful. Yep. Great direction again. Wes Archer had a beautiful cinematic opening.
Yeah, it's really cool. But you can tell it's freaking hot.
Yeah, summertime.
So
summertime in Arlen.
Yeah, I put down hot Texas summer. Everyone's sweating on Hank's back porch for the shade. All are very sweaty.
Very sweaty.
So they're very sweaty back there. Hank starts, he kind of sighs and says, Dale, your wife's a weather personality. Doesn't she have any idea when this drought's going to end? Dale says, no relief in sight. And that's straight from the AP Newswire to Nancy, to me, to you. Straight.
Yeah,
that's
which...
straight from...
For people who don't know about weather, your local weatherman... doesn't stand outside with antennas and things like that, receiving signals from space into his brain. He actually gets
now in the past
data.
Sure.
In the past, potentially, yeah, they were spinning rain sticks and stuff.
Rain sticks.
But your local weathermen get all of their weather data from the National Weather Service. All of it came in. All of the data and everything. They may have programs and stuff that help analyze that data differently because there are proprietary software, because I actually have a proprietary software that I pay for weather that gives you the weather data and it organizes it for you.
I think the older you get, the more you turn into Dale.
Yeah, probably
like
so.
You've got the weather software. You probably got a turtle down in your basement. You know, things like that. Lots of Mountain Dew at your
house.
Lots
of Mountain Dew.
So Hank says, well, stage one rationing wasn't too bad. I just cut out Peggy's Crystal Light. Crystal Light. When's the last time you heard about
Light.
Crystal
Light? I haven't heard about Crystal Light in a long time. They have these things now. It's like the Electrolyte is what it's called. It's like a Hispanic brand electrolyte drink that I drink.
Oh, really?
When I was doing construction
is
over
it like
the summer
the little
last
packages
year.
Packages that you put in water? Or?
No.
It's already made?
It's already made. It's kind of like Pedialyte.
Right.
But you know what I don't like about those drinks? That... weird.
It does give you a film. Yeah.
But they say that film is called rehydration. So I don't know. I was like, I'd rather be slightly dehydrated for the rest of my life than feel that in my mouth.
He says, he cut out Peggy's Crystal Light. When we hit stage two, I took away Bobby's bath. But stage three is killing my lawn, and that affects everyone. Hank goes inside. By the way, his lawn affects everyone.
It does.
He goes inside. He's walking through the hall, and he catches Bobby in the bubble bath. In the bathroom, and he goes, Bobby. Bobby's like, he goes, have you lost your mind? I've got a new girlfriend now. She expects me to smell a certain way. Then suck it up and take a shower. I don't like to stand that long. And then Hank does the weirdest thing. He grabs the trash can off the floor and scoops up some of the bubbly water to take outside and put on his grass, which seems like the bubbles in the water would kill the grass. But maybe it's good for it. I don't know.
I have no clue about how soap interacts with soil.
So there is a guy outside
I do know that one of the bug techniques my dad used when I was a kid was a bottle full of soapy water.
Yeah.
So it might not harm it.
Maybe not. I don't know. But there's a guy outside checking their water meter. We find out his name is JJ by Hank saying, hey, JJ, how'd we do? He says, you're just at your weekly allotment. Dang it. I scrimped and saved all week. JJ says, well, why don't you get a couple of those new low-flow toilets? By the way, JJ is, I would say he's a muscle-bound guy, big square head, that sort of thing. He goes, they use about half as much water, and the water company is giving them out for free, which I don't know if you remember that.
No, I don't remember that at all.
But yeah, they were giving out toilets for free for a while.
Wow.
But our tax dollars paid for
that's
them.
That's what I'm
to
saying
begin
is
with.
How much money do they save by giving out free toilets?
They don't.
Probably not.
They probably spend more money.
So
because
Artie have
this kind of situation that's in this happened over and over and over and over.
Yeah. So Artie has a statistic for us here for I don't know where this data comes from. I imagine it's going to be the
National Weather Service,
American Association of Prostate Exams or something. All right. But the average American changes their toilets every 10 to 15 years.
That's about right.
That's an average rotation. But if you maintain your toilet, you maintain the seal, make sure everything's good, and you change out the innards of it and everything as they break. Because usually the innards will last about 15 years. But if you change the ballast and all that stuff on it and keep it going and keep it fresh, it could last you up to 50. The porcelain itself really lasts you 100 years.
Oh, the porcelain
But
will last
it's
forever,
all of the innards and all the other workings and stuff that go bad with time.
My second marriage, we had some really high profile or high suction toilets, but they were low flow at the same time. Hmm. So what it was the initial flush was like powered, like it was, you know, but it was still low flow.
Yeah.
The problem with that is the innards, it's all encased in this one thing. So you can't just go and buy that little flush replacement.
Bag.
You got to buy the whole thing, and it was very expensive. And so I ended up just replacing those damn things with regular toilets.
Yeah, it sounds like. Did you have to have a plug in the wall for that?
No,
like there was no powered up pump or something. That sounds pretty intense.
It sucked in water.
Seems like it sucked the turd right out of you.
It sucked in air as it was refilling.
Oh, that's why it was a closed unit because it was like pressurized.
Yeah, it was pressurized.
Wow.
But I'll tell you this:
this episode's just gone to shit.
It has. I end up changing the flusher and the little seal in it
and
stuff like that.
Yeah, the plunger and the ballast and all that.
Yeah, I don't know, every 4 or 5 years probably, something like that. Because
they last
a
while. Usually the worst thing that happens on the ones that I've ever noticed is just the chain.
Yeah.
The chain will pop
Either
off or bend
or the little
rubber
the rubber
thing
kind of
wears out.
Yeah. When we had 5 kids in the house, I changed them out quite frequently.
Yeah.
But the toilets...
Be pissing and shitting.
Well, it's not that. It's just that they're so rough on them. You know?
Oh, just bam. Yeah, just slamming it like all you got to do is barely touch it to flush.
Yeah. But the best invention, and this is from a man who has owned 3 houses, been through 5 teenagers, 3 marriages. I will tell you this about toilets. The best thing you can do is seat it correctly, right? So the seal that you put down, and I will tell you this. A godsend in my life has been the rubber seal or the what's it made out of? It's the same stuff you use to grab hot stuff out of the oven.
Oh, silicone.
Yeah.
Yeah, silicone
so
seal.
So it's a silicone seal. It costs a little more, but it lasts for friggin' ever.
They last way
Instead
longer.
Instead of that sticky-ass wax that you
wax
put
that
down.
They used to use, the Luka. Wax seals they used to use back in the day wore out way faster, and then you'd have these issues. I used to be a plumber for a little while. I was an assistant, but apprentice, sorry. I had my apprenticeship card and all that stuff, but those wax seals on them older toilets will wear and wear and wear.
Well,
what people
slide
do is they slide
happened.
Too, but what people will do is they'll just go around and they'll do a quick fix and they'll just run a bead of silicone around the bottom of the toilet and they'll keep doing that.
It'll rot your floor out.
And then when you go fix their toilet, you lift their toilet up and their whole floor just falls
Floor's
out
just
from
rotten.
Underneath it and then they got to replace the whole floor before you can even put a toilet in.
That's right.
Yeah, terrible
That's right.
problems.
It's rough, man. That seal.
And don't ever half-ass your toilet.
No.
Because
you'll end up shitting on the floor.
Yeah, you'll end up shitting on the floor. But when Whenever you're fixing a toilet issue or any kind of plumbing issue, really, you don't ever half-ass it. If you got to spend the extra $20 to buy the better material or buy the better whatever it is, you always want to do it because you don't want to be pissing while you're shitting and shit get everywhere.
That is certainly something I've learned in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I promise we'll get back to the episode here in just a second. But I just had to redo all of the plumbing under our kitchen sink.
Yeah.
And I bought this kit that comes with like this expandable silicone hose.
Yeah.
That may be the best thing I've ever bought.
It's a good piss essay for everybody about plumbing.
It's like this $30 box, which I thought was a little expensive because, I mean, you can buy PVC a little cheaper, but I started pricing it out, and it's about the
PEX
same.
Is what you're talking about, the flex pipe?
I don't know.
It's
don't
like
know.
A flex. It's
yeah,
like a flex
it's definitely
pipe.
A flex pipe.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that.
But it's not the plastic flex.
Yeah.
It's like a silicone flex, and it comes with
Shark bike fittings.
It comes with these tie downs, like
metal tie downs,
and then a plastic thing where you create a P trap.
Oh, okay.
So it was, honestly, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's,
That's what they're doing.
I don't have any water on my floor.
A lot of water is going away from PVC, and they're using this stuff they call PEX, because when that PEX, it can swell. So if it freezes, it doesn't bust.
Yeah.
All new house construction and stuff like that, especially even in this area here, they put that PEX pipe in, because even when that pipe freezes, the pipe itself will swell.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it's done, it'll go back and it still holds its structural integrity. It doesn't ruin the pipe. The pipe can still be used.
My parents' house that I grew up in, it had clay piping underneath.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's how old it was, right?
Clay piping.
Yeah. And God. So you would constantly get these trees, the roots would grow into it and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you're constantly replacing it, putting plastic. Yeah.
Oh, it's gross.
It's like that in a lot of the infrastructure in all these small towns in Texas, because a lot of them still have, specifically out in the Belmead area, they still have a lot of old piping from when they first got infrastructure in the 50s.
Absolutely.
So they're still like got sewage and water that's from like
a lot of that's still
50s
clay. Anyway, he says to JJ tells him to go. The water company's giving out for free. Hank says, "Well, I don't know. My toilets are giving me 15 years of dependable service. I'm not one of those guys who turns 40 and runs out and buys fancy new toilets."
I didn't know that was a thing. So, I guess when I turn 40, I need to go get some toilets.
It's your midlife crisis. Either buy a Ferrari or new toilets. Con from over on his lawn says, "Check it out, Hank Hill. We got Green Thumb now. Hayseed." Hank looks at his lawn, which is really green, and Hank's lawn is really yellow and brown. He says, "What? Now, how in stage three could you?" He goes, "I use secret Asian watering technique." He goes, "Oh, come on. That's crazy. Don't let my genius in mathematics blind you to my mystical side. I could spit in a thimble and water Central Park." And then he just laughs and walks off. Next thing we see are some guys loading up the toilets in Hank's bathroom. Bobby says, "Goodbye, toilets. Thanks for everything." Hank says, "New low-flow toilets. Boy, this is exciting, but I guess you guys are probably used to it by now." He looks at the DWP workers and goes, "Yeah, I'm used to it. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I'm used to it." Now, Hank is in the bathroom later. You can tell he has gone to the bathroom. He gets up and he's singing along with, and as he flushes, "You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off." What the? And he tries flushing again. He goes, "Dang it, still?" And so apparently his business won't go down with all the flushes he's making. So now we're in the living room watching TV with Bobby, Hank and Bobby. Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That sing. So Hank was singing right there.
Yeah, Jim Croce.
The line ends with "the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim."
That's
which
right.
Which is the song "You Don't Mess Around with Jim" by Jim Croce. And if you don't know who Jim Croce is, he's better known for Bad Leroy Brown.
Well, that and Time in a Bottle. Yeah.
That whole album, Time in a Bottle, my favorite song.
I'm sure that went gold a couple of times.
It probably did. And if it didn't, go listen to it and let's get it there.
70s, right?
My favorite song on that whole album was "We Were Walking in the Alabama Rain."
I don't know that one.
That's a good one. Huh. That's a really good Jim Croce one. That might be an underrated one on that album, actually, because that one wasn't like a big radio song.
I always loved this one. "You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
Yep. Yeah, he was one of the real good folk singers.
He died
singers
pretty
sure.
early, too.
Yeah, he was. He was one of those troubled folk singers.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're in the living room, and Hank is sitting there watching TV with Bobby. We hear a bunch of flushing going on.
Yep.
Peggy comes out very sheepishly because she doesn't want to talk about what just happened. She sits on the couch. Hank's like, heck of a game. So, Peggy, I'm just curious. How many flushes was that? Peggy says, a lady does not discuss such matters. Bobby's quick to say, it was six. Yeah. I'm averaging four myself, but I'm just a kid. And he walks off.
And then Artie gave us another stat here about toilets. So it takes about 7 gallons to flush down waste.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a regular,
like solid waste,
just a regular toilet, seven gallons of water every time you use it to flush.
Sure.
A low flow only uses 1.6 gallons. So if she flushed six times at 1.6 gallons, she flushed over the seven gallons that it would have been to take just for one flush.
Oh, sure.
Bobby still is under the 7 gallon threshold.
He is.
But Peggy, if she's shitting that heavy, she needs to.
Just think about that, though. Like, you went from 7 to 1.6. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, that's a huge
difference. That's a huge jump. Yeah, that's
It'd be
a
different
really
if you
jump.
Went half. You know, they may work if you did half.
Maybe.
But go down to 1.6.
1.6 just seems like a big jump in water usage.
So Bobby walks off and Hank says, this is crazy. If you have to flush twice, you're already using as much water as our old toilets. We found out he's not.
Yep.
But we're flushing 3, 4, 6 times. We're not saving any water. Peggy says, if anything, we're wasting water. He goes, I'm going to call the water company, see about getting those high flows back. Peggy, of course, being crappy Peggy, she says, I already called. They take the old toilets, they smash them up, dump them in the Gulf of Mexico to make an artificial coral reef. Hmm. Bobby, from the bathroom, goes, Mom, you needed 7. And Hank's just like, that's it. So that is Hank's line right there, right? Now, we see Bobby in Connie's room. And he goes, thanks for the help with the algebra homework. Now, if you ever need help with your homework, Sanjay owes me a favor. He gives her like the little finger guns, right? And then he starts kind of crawling out of her window. He does fall out of the window. And then you hear Khan. So I was 20 gallons over. He's talking to JJ outside.
Yeah.
Bobby has come around, but he doesn't want Khan to see him, right, as he comes out of the window.
Yeah.
He's talking to JJ, and he goes, so I was 20 gallons over my limit, or was it a cool 40? And he's, like, holding up two $20 bills. JJ, the big beefy guy, says, look, I already told you it's $100. It's not a bribe. It's a tip. It's a bribe, not a tip.
Yeah.
He goes, okay. He says, best $100 I ever spent. So this dirty money going for more steroids or hair plugs? He just kind of laughs. He goes, just kidding. Ah, you all right, Jack LaLanne. Pats him on the shoulder and goes inside. Do we know who Jack LaLanne is?
Jack LaLanne, let's see if he...
He was a fitness guru.
Yeah, he was. So
like in the 50s.
Yeah. So here's a little information. He was a professional fitness coach. He's also known as the godfather of fitness. The grandson of fitness would probably be Richard Simmons, who's about to be played by Pauly Shore.
Oh, that's true.
That's going to be beautiful, I think.
Holy crap.
You know what that's going to be? I honestly think...
Pauly Shore is playing him in an upcoming movie.
And that is going to that is going to be his Oscar nomination.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
And I think that's going to be Pauly Shore. Like, it gives me literal goosebumps. Literal goosebumps thinking about Pauly Shore playing Richard Simmons.
Deal a meal.
I'm getting goosebumps. Like, I feel the top of my head tingling thinking about it.
I hope the entire movie is just called Deal a Meal.
Yeah, so back to LaLanne. He did a workout show on TV. He did it from 51 to 85, which was from the age of 40 to 74.
It's amazing.
And he died in 2011 at 96. Rest in peace, Jack LaLanne.
Don't pour it out. He always...
No, it's delicious. It's too good a tea to do that.
He always wore like this orange jumpsuit that was really tight, you know? And it was him and his wife sometimes working out together.
Speaking of rest in peace, also rest in peace to... and it's kind of... It almost seems like an Illuminati thing again because the Warner Brothers studios just tore down the entire Warner Brothers lot that had all the famous houses on it, had the Friends Fountain that as well.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later after they tear it down, rest in peace, Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew Perry. Down for the count.
I think he has an episode. I think he did a voice
Does he really?
On King of the Hill on later seasons. I'm going to have to check that out.
So the next thing we see is Connie getting in a van with men. They're driving off. Bobby pops his head up out of a bush because he's hiding until they leave. He goes up and rings the doorbell. Khan comes to the door. He says, huh, what are you doing here? And Bobby just walks right in, which is becoming a trend in Arlen. You just walk right into people's houses. Bobby says, I'm here to take a bath. Are you crazy? Get out. Legally, I can shoot you now, which he's probably right.
Yeah.
No, in Texas law, he's probably right.
I went ahead and looked it up just to verify it. Matthew Perry does for sure do a voice on King of the Hill, and so does Jennifer Aniston. They both had a voice.
Well, I guess when you think about the timing, that was
he did
Friends
a voice
was probably the hottest show going.
Let's see what the episode is. Season 8.
So
My
late.
Hair Lady. He plays the Hispanic hair salon guy Rico.
Oh no.
it was a little problematic,
a little troubling, maybe. Yeah.
But he worked at the Hottie Stylist place. He was the Hispanic stylist guy.
Okay, the one where Bill goes up and he's a member of the
Yeah. And then
Bill's wearing the half shirt.
The half shirt and everything. yeah, that's what it is. It's that guy that runs that salon. That's the one he voices.
So Khan's like, I can legally shoot you now. Bobby says, with what, a water pistol? You seem to have plenty of the wet stuff these days, don't you, sir? And Khan's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I use secret Asian watering technique. Bobby says, best $100 you ever spent. He goes, ah, what do you want? Because he knows he's being blackmailed at this point by Bobby, which has got to be a real kick in the nuts. Bobby says, baths and lots of them. Oh, and I'm tired of climbing in and out of Connie's window. From now on, I'll be using the front door. And then he just kind of brushes some lint off his shoulder and walks away.
You know, I'm really proud of Bobby in this moment,
too. It's kind of a mic
drop,
you know, for Bobby.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of him in this moment, too, because he gets to kind of stick it to a guy who makes his life unnecessarily rough.
Well, him and his dad both, you know?
Yeah. Like, especially being a young man. And Bobby, like, you know, if I had a daughter, I would want her to date a kid like Bobby. He's a wholesome kid. There's nothing wrong. He's not running around.
He's funny.
You got to think a lot of kids his age. By the time I was Bobby's age, I was smoking cigarettes, stealing beers out of fridges and stuff like that. So just thinking that he's so wholesome, he's like he goes to school. He does fairly good. You know, he's not the smartest, but he's not the, you know, he's also not the slowest kid in school either.
He's played football. He's played soccer.
He's a Renaissance man.
He kind of is.
Anything.
Yeah. He's very funny too.
And
I mean, he's a funny kid.
He is funny. So
loves chicken liver.
Can't wait to see how their relationship turns out in the new one.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. So now we're at Megalomart. Hank is in the toilet aisle. Guy comes over. I made sure to make a note that it's a Megalomart worker in a red vest because that always gives me PTSD from the Sears vests I had to wear, the little red vest. He goes, excuse me, where do you keep your good toilets? The worker says, sorry, we don't stock the good toilets anymore, just the low flows. And even if I did have the high flows, it'd be illegal to install them in Heimlich County. Hank's like, which idiot made it illegal to install a working toilet in your own bathroom? He says, the Board of Zoning and Resources, Ordinance 621A. I love how this guy that works at Megalomart knows the zoning ordinance.
Yeah, knows all the zoning ordinances.
Hank says, the Board of Zoning and Resources did this? Huh, I love their setback requirements. And if anybody doesn't know what a setback requirement is, it's how far your house is set back from the curb.
Oh, yeah, because there's requirements for that,
yeah.
You can only be so many
can't
feet
be right
off the
up,
curb.
Yeah, it can't be right up on the curb or anything. Yeah. It's just zoning stuff, and you live in a space or a town that there's little to no zoning.
Actually, a lot of it has changed,
or
to
has
be
it?
Honest with
good.
You. Because, well, I don't know if it's good or bad.
Well, you used to drive through there, and there's like a chicken shack next to a
really nice
house.
That stuff doesn't make sense. No, I agree with you on that. But we got the troubled city manager from Woodway. He was thrown off the island, if you will, over here for allegations.
Very much so.
And there was a lot of controversy about him being picked up over there on my side of town for that little community. But, I mean, as far as the controversy goes, he's trying to make it a little Hewitt. He's going through and all the derelict buildings got to be tore down. I mean, he's doing good.
It's
not
like the
bad.
NFL. You see these coaches that do really bad. Yeah. They get fired, and then the next year they get hired by another team.
Yeah, that's what it is. He did really bad. He got hired by another team. A lot of it has to do with the old guard nepotism stuff, the old white boy.
By the way, same deal with education. Yeah. You do bad, you fail up.
You fail up.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you teaching, so they'll put you in admin instead.
Or they don't want you being principal. Yeah. They take you downtown, which is crazy. So Hank now knows that it's a Board of Zoning and Resources. Now we're at Arlen Town Hall. We're in the Board of Zoning Resources room. I guess there's a specific
room.
There's an
official, official room, official meeting space.
This is Nate Hashaway, the main board member. I'm assuming he's the president of the council or whatever you call him.
Yeah.
He says, the motion to postpone item 25 until next week carries. Any other business? Hank, he's out in the audience. He clears his throat, and he goes, Hank Hill here, assistant manager, Strickland Propane. May I first say what an honor it is to be addressing the distinguished board. Now, I recently installed a low-flow fixture in my home. He gets interrupted by Hashaway.
He can't even say toilet, though.
He can't.
He can't even say
toilet. No, that's embarrassing. No,
he
can't say that. Hashaway says, Mr. Hill, in order to even discuss this issue, it'd have to be on the agenda. Hank says, well, okay, let's put it on the agenda. He says, sir, only a member of the Board and Zoning Resources can place an item on the agenda. He said, but my toilets. He says, Mr. Hill, your time is up. We appreciate your comments. And then Ed Burnett, the next guy on the board, says, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to remind the members of the board that it's Earl's birthday. I move we wish Earl happy birthday. and all the other members, or another member says, I second the motion. He says, all in favor. Everybody says, aye. And the motion carries. Happy birthday, Earl.
There you go.
I mean, it's just.
All in favor say aye.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's funny. Hank is. That's some small town government stuff.
Well, it's that Robert's Rules of Order kind of thing. And
yeah, I got a tidbit on that.
Having,
to run it down.
Having been in education for a while, it seems like it is the way that these boards get out of answering hard questions.
Oh, easy. So for those of you that don't know, Robert Rules of Order, they were first published in 1876. They were named for a colonel, Henry Martin Robert, who was a military engineer in the United States.
Oh, well, I always thought that was a first name.
No, it's his last name. Cool. But approximately 80% of organizations in the United States use these rules. But yep. What their goal is to provide common rules and procedures for deliberation and debate in order to place the whole membership on the same footing and speaking the same language, which is just a fancy way of saying we don't want to answer hard questions, so this is our way to reroute the whole everything to...
Well,
change how it works.
My problem with it is that the general public does not know those rules.
No.
You know, now, if you want to go over a couple of things before a board meeting starts and say, this is how it works, that's one thing. But you consistently see these videos on YouTube where people will try to go up and talk to the board, whatever local board it is, city board, school board, whatever. And they can't do it, just like Hank can't here, because they always fall behind that Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah,
I get it that they do need rules, but at least let the general public know what they are.
No, absolutely. You know, the rules got to be clearly defined. To put everybody on the same playing field in any situation, all rules have to be absolutely clearly defined, and then there has to be like a standard operating procedure that has to be clearly followed.
A SOP.
Yeah.
S-O-P.
A sop, a good sopper.
So now we're in the living room at Hank's house, and he's there with his tie down, so you can tell it's been a long day. Bobby and Peggy are listening to him regale the tale about going in front of the board. He says, then before I knew it, my time was up. I never even got to mention the sorry state of my lawn. Peggy says, did you move to have the time extended for consideration of the pending question? He goes, what? How do you do that? She goes, Hank, I am a veteran of PTA meetings, both as a P and a T, and I have read the Bible. I love that, as a P and a T.
Both as a P and a T.
And I have read the Bible of parliamentary procedure known as Robert's Rules of Order. this is very funny, and this is shitty Peggy again. Bobby says, sounds like somebody should be put in a run for mayor. And Peggy's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's me. Yeah, and she's smiling. He goes, I mean, you are the smartest man in town, Dad. And then Peggy is pissed. She doesn't like the fact that he's putting all the stuff on Hank. Hank says, well, you know, there is nothing saying I couldn't run for a spot on the board of zoning and resources. Peggy says, well, you can count on my vote, assuming I agree with your platform.
That's funny.
Jeez, Peggy. Now
assuming I agree with your platform.
That's right. Now we're at the Arlen Town Hall the next day. And Hank is standing in front of the glass clerk window with Bobby, and he goes, I, Hank Hill, do hereby submit this application to be on the ballot for election to the Board of Zoning and Resources. I will build my platform on thick, healthy lawns made possible by efficient toilets that don't waste water. And the poor lady that's just trying to do her job behind the clerk's office, she's looking at the papers, and she goes, okay, you're in. He goes, you hear that, Bobby? Your old man's on the ballot. She goes, there is no ballot. There's been an empty seat on the board for the past 4 years. Congratulations, you're a board member.
That was good, yeah.
And Bobby's like, we
got
won!
It by default.
He goes, we won! And then Hank says, no, Bobby, Arlen won. And he just kind of looks off into the distance like a dictator or something.
Yeah.
All right, and that's the first commercial break on this episode, and we'll take that as well. We'll be right back.
Pros and heroes. Gonna tell you about pros and heroes. Gonna tell you about.
Hey, I'm Zach.
And I'm Mike.
And we have a fantastic new podcast to tell you about. Bros, foes, and heroes. It's the two of us looking into the world of comics, breaking down some characters that you may have never heard of, and some that are just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, so Zach comes up with a character each time, and I go into it just completely blind. I don't know who this person is or what their abilities are or anything, and basically I guess we kind of go over their origin story and just some of the ridiculous stuff that maybe, especially Golden Age stuff.
Oh, Golden Age stuff is always the best, and we will make sure to highlight all of the shenanigans and just absolute weirdness of everything.
Yeah, that's right. So subscribe today and follow us on Instagram at Bros Foes Heroes.
And if you don't, I know where you live. Not really, but please subscribe.
Bros and Foes and Heroes. Gonna tell you about Bros and Foes and Heroes. Gonna tell you about...
Hi, and welcome to Bustles and Bangers with your hostess, Rachel and Christopher.
I'll love it when you say my name.
And you didn't say hi.
I didn't. You just kept going.
I'm
going
to introduce the book.
I'm not reading it. It's because I don't like reading.
Girls like cowboy butts, you know, and those jeans don't hide anything. Find us on Instagram at Bustles and Bangers or on RogueMediaNetwork.com.
And we're back.
We're back to the suburban Che Guevara.
We are. We're now in the alley with all four guys. So you got Bill, you got Dale, you got Boomhauer, and Hank. Hank says, oh. And what he's doing is he's got this paint, you know, those paint sample sticks you can get from like Home Depot, Lowe's, places.
You know,
like
I think
that.
We need more politicians like Hank, though. I think we need more
certainly.
Just like.
Well, he comes in, he does his job, and he leaves.
Yeah, 100% transparent.
That's what you need.
Completely transparent and everything. I don't know. I kind of like him. He's a man of the people.
We're not going to get those anymore.
No.
That ship has sailed. He's using the little paint color things, and the paint colors in order say evergreen, meadow grass, emerald sunset, which I've never seen a green sunset, and then amber mist. And he's comparing his very yellow dead grass to each one of the colors on the paint.
Oh, maybe
chip.
Emerald sunset is like how grass looks like when you're looking at it. Maybe. I don't know. I've never seen emerald sunsets.
He's comparing his grass to these colors, and he goes, it's gone from evergreen to amber mist. And Dale says, ashes to ashes, and all of them are just kind of, oh, yeah, your lawn's dead. He goes, we'd have so much more water for our lawns if we didn't have that stupid toilet law. I'm going to use all my power of my position to get our old toilets back. Bill says, and this is Bill's only line, they say power is the ultimate aphrodisiac, Hank. Can you introduce me to Madeleine Albright? I don't understand the way that Bill's mind works.
Yeah.
He thinks because Hank is on the board of zoning that he knows Madeleine Albright. Do you know who Madeleine Albright is?
Yeah, she was the first woman who was ever named Secretary of State. She was Secretary
under
of State
Clinton,
from...
Right?
Yeah. She was under Clinton from his whole term, from 97 to 2001.
Was she brought back under Obama?
She might have been brought back for something, but she wasn't Secretary of State.
Yeah, okay. So Bill...
Who was Bush's secretary? Wasn't it Condoleezza?
Might have been Condoleezza Rice.
Might have been Condoleezza. I know she was something.
Was she secretary? I don't know what she was.
Because Colin Powell was Secretary of Defense, I believe.
Rumsfeld
was Secretary of Defense. No, it was Donald Rumsfeld that was Secretary of Defense, I think.
I thought Colin Powell was at one point.
I think he was for Clinton, maybe. I don't remember.
So Bill just wants to meet Madeleine Albright. Dale says, people, now there are limits to our newly empowered friend Hank's power. He deals in simple county-level matters like the permit I need to build my new fence. Hank says, now, Dale, first you need to write up your proposal, then you need to present it to the board for a vote, and then democracy happens. He goes, I get a new fence. Give me fence. Lots of fence. Hey, please fence me in. Ooh, yeah, give me fence. Lots of fence. And he just dances away.
Which was a reference to a
old cowboy song.
It was sung by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, but it was written by Cole Porter and Robert Fletcher. It's called Don't Fence Me
Don't
In.
Don't Fence Me In. Is that written by Cole Porter? Is it in a – I don't remember if that's in a play or not.
I imagine being written by Cole Porter, it was probably used, if not in a play, at least in a movie production.
All I can think of is like Oklahoma, but I don't think that's it because I think that's Bernstein. But anyway,
but Cole Porter did a lot of that.
Welcome to our musical podcast.
Yeah, or to the podcast where we don't know much about politics and can't remember shit at all.
No politics, no music.
No, a lot about low flow toilets, can't remember 90s politics at all.
We are on the ground forces is what we are.
Yeah.
Now we go back to the Arlen Town Hall. It's nighttime. The audience consists of Bobby playing with one of those little fold things where you see who you're going to marry, and then
one of the old the old fortune telling things.
Yeah, it's got him and then some lady sitting out there, and that's pretty much it. And Dale, that's the entire audience for this thing. Nate Hashaway, it's hard for me to say Hashaway. I always want to say Hathaway. Nate Hashaway says, motion to approve item 39, the resolution to include the city fee ordinance in smart growth incentives. They second it. He says, all in favor. All the members say aye. And then Hank, at the end of the table, he goes, aye. And they say, motion passes. Next order of business, Mr. Dale Gribble's request for a zoning variance. The reason I say a single Hank out in saying that is he is just so, he's like, aye.
He's quick on it,
he's ready to go. And it was loud. So now we move on to Mr. Dale Gribble's request for a zoning variance. Dale stands up and he's got a whole bunch of loaded up, or rolled up, like plans, you know, like you see architect plans or something that. He's got like six of them in his hands. He stands up, and Hank stands up at the same time. And Hank says, in the interest of impartiality, I'd like to put on the record that Dale Gribble is a close friend and neighbor. And the board members consist currently, the ones you can see currently, the name plaques say Earl Petschke, Violet Wilson, Nate Hashaway, and then there's two others on the end. We don't currently know who those are until later they show their name placards. Dale now unfolds one of these plans and shows it to the folks on the board. He goes, well put, Mr. Chairman. Board members, basically what I'm envisioning is a 12-foot, 10,000-volt electrified protective fence with guard tower. Thank you. And he shows them this picture, and it's I don't know if people can see this, but I drew the little picture. It's Dale in a tower with lightning coming off of a barbed wire fence. Oh, and okay. For some reason, he's drawn the sun over to the side.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why he's taking the time for that. But it's basically stick figures. Hank from the board seat says, Dale, that is the single dumbest. And he goes, all in favor? Dale says that. He goes, you're making me look like a jackass. And then you just get like this weary sigh. And all of Hashaway says, all in favor of Mr. Gribble's variance? Everybody says nay. Members say nay. He goes, request denied. So that's it.
Request denied.
Yeah. And of course, Dale, being the good friend to Hank that he always is, he points at him and goes, you're dead to me. And then he just leaves. Hashaway then says, final order of business. Item 41 has also been put on the agenda by Mr. Hill. Chairman yields the floor. And so that is one of the Roberts rules of order. They have to yield the floor to each other
and stuff like that.
You hear that a lot, you have X amount of time.
You'll say, I yield my 5 minutes to,
to the good congressman from Nebraska. Hank stands up and he's like, thank you, Chairman Hashaway. He just clears his throat because he wants Bobby to pay attention to him, what he's saying.
I think what a lot of those guys do, too, is I don't have an intelligent enough answer, so I'm going to yield 5 minutes to the next guy who's long-winded.
1,000,000%.
You'll hear it, too. He'll say, like, three things, and he'll be like, okay, well, I just got a lot of dead time.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pass it over to the gentleman that has a lot more to say about the subject than me.
I have something to say about filibustering when we get to this. But
filibustering is hilarious to me. I think it's funny. I think it's funny, and it's extremely petty, and it's extremely counterproductive to good government.
It's so different from the Roberts Rules of Order, but it's part of it.
Yeah, which I don't understand. I never understood the filibuster being a thing at all. I don't like what you got to say, so I'm going to sit here and talk about nonsense for 6 hours until you give up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if a filibuster was all about the subject, I could possibly get it. But
it's not. They read yellow pages.
They just do whatever. Yeah.
Books on podiatry.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Whatever.
Musings. Hank says 1.6 gallons per flush.
You start reading musings. People can vote and quit.
Per low flow toilet. He's standing up again. He's reading. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But unfortunately, in the real world where things don't flush like they do in the movies. When have we seen things flush in the movies?
I'm not watching movies where things are flushing generally. I mean, I've seen scenes.
I just circled that part and put three exclamation marks by it.
I'm not participating in that much movie flushing.
Hank goes on and says, it can take 3, 4, or in the case of my wife, Peggy Hill, 6 flushes to completely remove solid waste.
Wow.
I love how he just puts Peggy out there. The bus goes by and just runs right over. The stenographer looks up whenever he says this. She's like, whoa. She's very surprised. Hank continues. He says, the fact is these toilets are squandering more water than they are saving. Thank you. And he sits down. Hashaway says, Mr. Hill, I want to assure you the board fully considered all viewpoints before approving Ordinance 621A. See y'all Wednesday. Oh, wait a minute. What am I saying? I'll see you at Sunday at Earl's party. And Hank's just like, there's a party? And that, obviously he didn't get invited to the party.
Yeah.
So now Bobby and Hank are leaving, and the only way I can compare this or describe the way they look is Sad Charlie Brown. You know, when Sad Charlie Brown stomps away, kind of when things don't go his way, or the kid, Michael Cera in Arrested Development, he does the Sad Charlie Brown at one point, which became a meme. So they're sad walking down the hall.
Yeah, that's a trope you see in the Charlie Brown sad. You can see that in a lot of different movies.
Oh, yeah.
There's even cartoons that trope it too.
No flushing in movies, but I have seen the Charlie Brown.
I've seen the Charlie Brown thing quite a few times, which it's the season for Charlie Brown right now.
It is.
Can't wait.
My favorite is again, Michael Cera walking away all Charlie Brown in Arrested Development. That's so funny.
I have a.
I think that's the one where the Japanese businessmen come in and Job dresses up like Godzilla and destroys the town in front of them.
I learned something about Charles Schultz that I didn't know the other day. So I have a friend who grew up fundamental. No, he's not. I had a friend who grew up in fundamental Christian churches and stuff like that. He grew up. His dad was a Fundy pastor, actually.
Fundy.
And
hardly knew him.
I didn't know that Charles Schultz was a fundamental Christian too.
Oh, was he?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that either. It makes sense because none of that stuff was ever even suggested.
No, and they said that a lot of it had religious connotations and stuff like that, laden in Charlie Brown and stuff. And I've watched a lot of Charlie Brown, but it never clicked or registered to me any of that.
No, because he didn't hit you over the head with it.
Do you remember those little fundamental Christian pamphlets?
Oh yeah,
I remember. It was that there's a famous animator that did it.
They're called tracks. Yeah,
that they're called.
They were called tracks.
Tracks, yep. And it was like a little deal, and it would have one of those weird images where it'd be like a guy's arm, and it would be Jesus's arm, and he would be like tied off, shooting up meth or something like
that.
We
can get those nice and big for prints on your wall now. You know, there were only two sets of footprints, and then it went to one because he was carrying me. Yeah. So anyway, they're coming down the hall. They're very disgruntled. You see Hashaway standing by the men's toilet. And he goes, hey, I know you. He goes, chair recognizes Hank Hill. He goes, seriously, Hank, I want you to see something. He takes Hank and Bobby into the men's room where there are some toilets that are obviously being changed out because a couple of them are strapped down like to a dolly. He goes, because of the worsening drought, we thought we'd swap the high flows for a couple of water savers. So why don't you take the old toilets, be happy, and we'll move on to the important businesses, zoning and resources. And the thing I like about this scene is the lighting. It's so, like, noir. You know, it's like these hard shadows across their faces and stuff. Because you can tell it's very, like, I don't know how you would describe it. He's being very clandestine.
Yeah, you know.
He's just like, hey, Hank, why don't you do this? I'll rub your shoulders, you rub mine. Kind of thing. Hank says, well, that's mighty nice of you, Nate, but that'd be breaking the law. So until I get that law revoked, I'm going to have to say, not yet. Hashaway looks at him and goes, you're a real Boy Scout, aren't you, Hank? He goes, made it to Eagle. Good night. And he leaves. Him and Bobby leave. And Hashaway is standing there, and he's kind of rubbing his chin like a evil villain in a cartoon kind of thing. Now, next thing you see is in the parking garage, and this reminds me of Deep Throat. Right, because
that's exactly what
Artie had
right here.
Yeah.
So the movie, All the President's Men.
Yep, Dustin Hoffman, Robert Redford.
Robert Redford, yeah. So if those of you who don't know, and there's probably a lot of you who don't, if you're for a younger crowd, most of us '90s kids have heard about it one way or another because our parents lived through it. But you had a scandal where Richard Nixon was spying on the Democratic National Convention, and he was doing that because he was trying to get a leg up, I guess, on the competition.
Right.
And in doing so, he violated and broke quite a few laws.
Who was he running against?
I can't remember who he was running against. But he went and stole.
It wasn't Ford because Ford was his vice president.
Yeah, which ruined his career. By pardoning Nixon, that stopped him from ever being voted as president again. But there was a whole big scandal where Nixon was in there stealing information at the Democratic National Convention. He was breaking into what was the Watergate Hotel, And
yeah,
they went in, did a bunch of stuff they weren't supposed to do, got caught doing it. He was impeached. And
it was George McGovern.
After he was impeached, he resigned instead of being kicked out of office. He didn't want to be.
I am not a crook.
Yeah, he didn't want to be the first president to ever get kicked out of the office, so he resigned instead. And yeah, like you said, there's that famous where he's stepping off the helicopter saying, "I am not a crook."
Yeah.
And then his vice president, in return, ruined his political career by pardoning Nixon. So.
Ford was his vice president.
Yeah.
Ford took over, and then Ford. Immediately started to get lambasted by Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live because Ford had this issue where he would fall down a lot. Like he would trip on things and fall over.
I didn't know that.
And so Chevy Chase played him.
I'm going to have to go back and look at clips of that. It's going to be great.
By the way, this is the greatest era of Saturday Night Live in the fact that they did not put makeup on him or anything. It's just Chevy Chase going, "I'm Gerald Ford." That's it.
Yeah. You
know, there's nothing
that's
to
great,
it.
Yeah.
And then he like falls off a ladder. And the legend to that is that that's when Chevy Chase really messed up his back because he kept falling and falling and falling trying to be Gerald Ford.
And that's where he became an
screwed
asshole.
Screwed up his back,
got
hooked on painkillers, things like that, and he's been an asshole ever since. Like,
yeah, because that's what they say about. Yeah, because I remember when, because I never really knew much about Chevy Chase's early career other than seeing the movies. I didn't really know anything about him. But when he was on Community, and then he got kicked off Community, and that's when I started to kind of check into him a little bit and see what it
people
was about.
Hate working
because he
with
was
him.
One of my favorite characters on the show. He was hilarious.
Fantastic, yeah.
And come to find out the reason why he got kicked off is because he was just an insufferable jackass.
He is. He's just a jackass that nobody wants to work with, which is really sad because he's a very, very funny man. But he's one of those guys that I've always liked because he is a very confident idiot in everything he plays.
Yeah, you know? Very confident.
Like one of my favorite scenes between me and my buddy Casey, our favorite scenes, is in Caddyshack where he gets lacy underalls to come to his apartment. And he's trying to, he gets a couple of, I think it's Evian's, and he puts the caps back on them. They've been open for a while.
Yeah.
He opens them, and he's like, "Oh," you know, and he flips the things off of them. And then he goes over to play piano, and he goes, he's singing about wanting to touch her, or lick her, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Let's go out to the patio." And that's
that's a good movie, yeah.
That's something he and I say a lot. Let's go out to the patio. Hank has said, "Nope. You know, he's not going to do this." Now we're in the parking garage. Again, shades of Deep Throat. Hashaway walks up to Gribble, who is there at his bug-a-bago. I said it correctly. And he goes, "Mr. Gribble." He goes, "Don't sneak up on me." He goes, and he's trying to light a cigarette. He's just shaking so bad. "Oh, I'm sorry. I hear you're Hank Hill's neighbor. I just wanted to talk to you about a little piece of business." He goes, "Go on." And then he's actually able to light the cigarette.
Yeah.
And then you just hear like the mumbling and it goes off. Next thing you see is Bobby in a bubble bath at Khan's house. He looks out the window and he sees Hank in agony over his lawn because his lawn is still just dead.
Yeah, dead.
And
real
I can identify
dead.
With this.
Almost as
zero
bad
breath.
As yeah, almost as dead as it was after the ant incident.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I got this kid that mows my yard, right? And one of the most annoying things about him mowing my yard is the fact that he mows it and then never tells me that he's mowing it. So, like, he doesn't say,
that
he doesn't knock on the
too,
door and say, "Hey, I'm going to come mow," or nothing like that.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, "Well, I don't have any cash on me to pay you."
Because
he'll come knock on the door right after he's done mowing and be like, "All right, I'm done mowing." And I was like, "We never discussed you mowing or when to mow." And I was like, "I don't have any cash." And it always puts me in this awkward like limbo phase where
you're
he's like texting me that I owe him. And I'm like, "Dude, I didn't ask for you to mow. Like you're going to like, I'll get you your money." But it's like, next time confer with me and then be like, "Hey, I'm going to mow and I'll have your cash to where I can hand it to you before you even mow or directly after," kind of thing.
Have you ever seen the movie, I think it's One Crazy Summer with John Cusack and the guy who played Booger in but he pisses off the paper boy because he doesn't have any money to pay the paper boy.
Yeah.
And so I think it's One Crazy Summer, maybe a different one. But and so every once in a while, you see this kid riding around on this bicycle, chasing him, going, "I want my $4."
Yeah, well, that's what it feels like. It's like
$4.
Well, my schedule just doesn't match up with when he's around, yeah, so it's sure. like it's hard for us to coordinate to get him his cash because I don't like just leaving it in the mailbox or nothing like that. So we spend like a week playing tag for him to get his money.
Sure,
and it just may I just don't it's I don't crazy. Like those situations. Yeah.
So he sees Hank out there, and he feels really guilty and worried about Hank. Next, we see Hank in the freezer part of his double door refrigerator scraping ice crystals out, right?
Yeah.
And he's collecting them. And Bobby says, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I was listening to your mother tell me about her day, and then it hit me." He was not listening. He goes, "Freezer shavings. They're made of water. Oh, look at all this frost inside this box of Fletcher's corny dogs." And he starts emptying it out. And he goes, "Thank you, Jesus." I mean, he's just really thankful for these ice crystals. It is 3 a.m. in Bobby's room. We can tell that because his alarm goes off. He goes over to Con's house, and he gets the water hose, and he drags it over to the hill's front yard, and he starts to water his dad's grass with Con's water. Con comes out, "Hey, McNugget, what the hell are you doing?" And he starts crimping up the hose, right, so it doesn't flow anymore.
Yeah.
He goes, "Shh, my dad will hear us." He goes, "You breaking our agreement. My bribe not big enough to cover your bath, my slip and slide, and your father's lawn. Something's got to give, and it's not going to be my slip and slide." Slip and slide. That's his big one.
That's funny.
Bobby says, "And it's not going to be my dad's lawn." He goes, "Forget baths." He goes, "Done. And you can forget your front door privileges." He goes, "All right." He says, "All right, uncrimp." Then he lets him keep watering. So he has now traded Bobby coming through the front door to see Connie and his bubble baths. So Bobby can't do either one of those things. The next morning, they're getting ready to go to school, and Hank is kind of yelling at Bobby because he slept through the bus. He goes, "Come on, Bobby, you slept through the bus." He looks outside. He sees a green lawn, and he goes, "Sweet St. Augustine." And he just gasps. And by the way, St. Augustine is a type of grass. He's down on his knees just touching the grass because he can't believe that it worked. Bobby comes out and goes, "It worked that fast?" Hank says, "Yeah, well, how about that? I was hoping those freezer shavings would work, but between you and me, I had my doubts." Well, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. I mean, they would work, but you would have to have
it would have to be a
5-gallon bucketfuls of freezer shavings.
Yeah, a lot of it. We see the next night Bobby watering again. And then the next day, you see Hank out there looking at his grass. Nate Hashaway drives up in a big black car. I can only assume
big car.
Black Cadillac car. He goes, "That's a handsome lawn." "Well, your Rally St. Augustine is a really deep-rooted soil, or sod." Hashaway says, "And it takes a pretty picture, too." Hands him a big manila envelope.
Yep.
Hank starts looking at it, and it's pictures of Bobby watering the grass in the middle of the night. He goes, "These were taken over the last several nights by a private investigator. If I'm not mistaken, that's your boy violating the water rationing laws with your neighbor's hose." Hank says, "Bobby?" He goes, "Don't worry. I'll keep your secret, unless, of course, you keep pushing that toilet issue." And the wind starts blowing, and you see Nate Hashaway's hair start flipping up. So you know it's a comb-over.
It's a comb-over, yeah.
And Hank looks at him and goes, I idealized you. Yeah. And so Hashaway leaves, and that fades to black. It's the second commercial break, and we'll take that as well, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Blair.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're the host of By the Cover Podcast.
We cover everything from mysteries, thrillers, romance, chick lit, and even some smut.
Don't forget the smut.
Yeah.
We're so excited to get this thing going and share this with you guys. We've been talking about this for months, and it's finally, finally happening.
Yes.
Special shout out to Rogue Media for helping us with this.
For sure. For sure. You can find us on Instagram at @ByTheCover_podcast.
You can also find us on Facebook and TikTok, so don't forget to give us a follow on those two also.
We are so excited to dive into some of our favorite books and share those with you.
We can't wait. Hope you love it.
Hola, yo soy Jackie.
Y yo soy Jessica.
Y esto es Zona del Crimen.
Podcast donde hablaremos sobre casos de crímenes reales y eventos impactantes que han quedado marcados a través del tiempo. Recuerden que nos pueden seguir en Facebook, Instagram
o donde escuches tus podcasts favoritos.
All right, and we are back, and I think I have hair on my sweater here. I was really happy to be able to put on a sweater today.
Yeah, me too.
It feels like a t-shirt.
It is our first sweater weather day
it is
of the season
of
for
2023.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm wearing my slim Cessna's Auto Club t-shirt underneath this. It's a band.
Not wearing a t-shirt really underneath like. This.
If anybody wants a good band to listen to, go look up Slim Cessna's Auto Club.
I'm
really
wearing
weird.
An old skate hoodie.
So now we're in Bobby's room. Hank now knows what happened. And he's talking to Bobby. He goes, Bobby, you stole water. You violated both the letter and the spirit of the water rationing rules. The spirit.
The spirit.
Bobby says, Dad, I didn't steal the water. Mr. Susanusen phone let me have it. He goes, don't lie to me, son. Con hates my lawn. He goes, no, it's true. I mean, I had to blackmail him. Blackmail? He goes, Mr. Susanusen phone started it. I caught him bribing the meter reader guy. He goes, oh, God, JJ too?
Yeah, he didn't like that.
Bobby says, but, Dad, I saved your lawn. Hank says, I don't have a lawn. I have a crime scene. And that grass is getting the death penalty. No more water. Hank is so dramatic sometimes. You know, there's no gray for Hank. It's all black or white. Now he's outside looking at his brown grass again. Bobby comes out and says, Dad, guess what? I took a 30-second shower, and I'm going to dry myself off on the lawn. Bobby comes out. He's super wet.
Just
he's
rolling in,
his,
in the
he's
dirt.
He's in his boxers, and then he gets down and starts rolling on the
literally
yellow grass.
Literally just rolling in dirt.
He's gross. Hank says, that lawn's dead, Bobby. You're just making mud.
Just making mud.
And
yeah.
Then he walks off with the sad Charlie Brown again. He walks over to Dale's. Dale is now up on a very it's probably a 10-foot ladder. And he's practicing shooting with a air rifle, like not an air rifle, but a rifle that's not really there. And he's pantomiming. And he's going, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Like he's going to shoot the neighborhood cats. There's a little sign on his ladder, and it says guard tower temporary. Like I don't know who he's telling that to.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But whatever. Hank says, oh, Dale, you can't build that fence. You need a variance. He says, variance, schmariance, pudding and pie. I don't know what
whatever that means.
He shows
which
him
would be little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating his pudding and pie.
I guess, man.
I don't know. Stuck a thumb in some figgy pudding or something. Whatever that
Hank says, Hank looks at the paper that Dale shows him and he goes, signed by Nate Hashaway. Where'd you get this? Stop interrogating me. I'll never crack. He goes, what are you talking about? All right, I did it. Dale is like the quickest to crack.
Super quick.
He goes, I took the photos of the illegal lawn hydration for Hashaway. Hank says, what? You sold me out for a stupid fence? You bet I did. I'm so ashamed. Here, tear it up. Hands him the paper. If that empty gesture will make you feel better. Hank literally tears it up. And then Dale goes, Hank, you're alive to me, referencing the fact that he told him he was dead to him earlier. Hank kind of runs off, and he goes, call me. Now, Bobby runs to Connie's window. He falls into her window as Connie is playing the violin. He goes, Connie, Hashaway. He says, Connie. He falls in her window, and then he sees Con coming down the hall, so he kind of hightails it into the bathroom. He slips and falls. There, he can see the little sticker on the bottom of the toilet, and it says Hashaway. He says, Hashaway. And the sticker says Hashaway Fixtures Limited, 150 San Pedro, San Pedrob? I don't know. Boulevard. Oh, I'm sorry. San Pedro Boulevard. I have terrible handwriting. McManorberry, Texas. Number one, it's not in Arlen. It's in McManorberry. So that's a real issue. You hear the he runs back over to the house. In the Hill living room, he goes, Dad, I found out something about Hashaway that you could use against him. Hank says, Bobby, you keep your dirt. I've got enough where my lawn used to be. Hank's just sitting there watching TV until he's sad. He goes, Dad, listen, I was climbing through Connie's window, and then I saw, he goes, your window, or her window, your mother said Con was letting you use the front door. He goes, he was, but I gave that up to water your lawn. And then you get this look between Hank and Bobby, and Hank is just so proud of him.
Yeah, he's
you
like,
because
he
gave that up for him. Yeah. Now we're at the Arlen Town Hall. Hank is going to use this information to try to get those low-flow toilets out of there. Hashaway says, the meeting's called to order. Peggy comes up to Hank and goes, sorry, I took so long. I went to powder my nose, and it took 8 flushes. 8.
Peggy's shitting heavy. Peggy. That's a joke. That's got to be a joke in itself. We say shitty Peggy all the time, but she is literally shitting Peggy right now.
She's very dense shitty Peggy. She's talking to Hank at the board table. She goes, I went to powder my nose and it took 8 flushes. He goes, oh, this has got to stop. And then you hear Hashaway, first item of business. Ugh. It's from our old friend, proposal to repeal Ordinance 621A. I believe Mr. Hill now wants to rescind his proposal.
Hell yeah.
Hank is now, he kind of launches into this thing that reminds me of Mr. Smith went to Washington or goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart, where Jimmy Stewart is a good politician that goes in, he sees all the problems, and he finally stands up to them, and then he quits.
Yeah.
So this is what this feels like. He goes, no, sir, I do not. You see the envelope in front of Mr. Hashaway? There contains photographs of my son watering my lawn with stolen water. Peggy just kind of pats Bobby on the leg in the audience, and he goes, I accept fully the responsibility. After tonight's meeting, I will resign my position. You see a smirk on Hashaway's face. He goes, but why is Nate Hashaway fighting so hard to keep low-flow toilets? Because his company, Hashaway Fixtures, is the exclusive supplier of low-flow toilets to the water company. That's right. He makes money off of 621A, and that's why I move we vote to overturn it. Violet Wilson, who's sitting right next to him, goes, I second the motion. And then the whole board, Hashaway says, all right, I call for a vote. Everybody goes, nay. I mean, they're just so quick to say nay. Hank says,
And I'm going to go back to my small town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that try to get done and a lot of things that you'll have. Half of the board will be these young people ready to kick ass, but they'll always be outweighed by this majority.
It's always that old boys
of
club.
The old good old boys. And this is the kind of thing that I've seen in my own personal, like, small town government. You're sitting there and you're hearing the great things that these people want to do, and then you watch it get shot down.
Just immediately
shot down.
Yeah. Hank says, but these toilets he's selling, they don't work. And then one of the other board members says, I don't own one personally. I've never even used one, but I've known Nate for 18 years. And if he says these low flows are good for Arlen, then I'm inclined to believe him. Hashaway says, it's 5-0 against you, Mr. Hill. Peggy, he goes, how do you vote? Peggy looks through the rules of order. Hank says, I vote. And she goes, Hank, wait. She goes, okay, until you say A or nay, she comes up to him.
Yeah.
This vote is not final. And any member who leaves before it's final forfeits their vote.
So this is where Hank learns about the filibuster. Yeah.
She goes, it's all right here in Robert's Rules of Order. He goes, so they can't leave? So what? She goes, so eventually they'll have to go to the bathroom. He goes, oh, the low flows. She goes, Hank, I have 2 years worth of my musing columns in my purse. She's just walking around with 2 years worth of musings.
I imagine she's probably got 2 years worth of musings that she wrote down last week.
I don't doubt
that's probably what that was. That's probably 2 years worth of musings that she has in her purse, not counting the 42 years worth of musings she has locked away in filing cabinets.
She got a lot written on that Blueberry Mac. She says, Hank, I have 2 years worth of my musing columns in my purse. Start reading and do not let up. Hashaway says, Mr. Hill, you have the floor, trying to get everything moving.
Yeah.
Hank says, yes, I do. But before I vote, I think it's important to read these things to you. He kind of clears his throat. He goes, you know, autumn is here when the leaves are leaving and the pine needles are sticking around. And Peggy, of course, is like, hee, sorry, go on. And then Hashaway looks at the other guy and goes, oh, God dang it, it's a filibuster. Other board members are like, oh, God, not that. Then you kind of get a passage of time. Hank is still standing up reading these damn musings.
Yeah, this one's funny.
I'm tired of reading negative stories about today's youth. You might say I'm on an all-protein diet. And then he goes, ugh. He's just, ugh. You can tell.
He don't even like it.
It's hurting Hank's soul to read these. Earl Paschke says, I'm not leaving. I'm just going to the John, because he gets up to go. And Hank goes, be my guest. And he gives a bad look to Hashaway. He goes, the people who say you can't make an omelet without cracking eggs are always pretty hard-boiled. Again, he's just like, oh, God.
I can feel the cringe running down my spine.
You hear a flush, And then Hashaway says, Mr. Hill. Then you hear a second flush. You hear a third flush. And then Hashaway starts, like, patting sweat off of his brow. Hank smiles, and he goes, they say time flies, but with the way airlines are going these days, maybe we should take the bus. And then you hear another flush. And then he's very pleased with himself at this point. He goes, yeah. That's right, the bus. And then later again, everybody's kind of groaning. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. You hear flushing again. Ed Burnett comes back and refuses a glass of water from Fritz Kubiak. Yeah. So those are the two guys. You couldn't see their nameplates to begin with.
Yeah.
So you got Ed Burnett and Fritz Kubiak. And he continues and says, both people and rivers make deposits in their banks. Fitz says, this is just sadistic. Ed says, I wouldn't go to the John. He goes, I'll use the ladies. Violet speaks up and goes, too late. Somebody already broke it. So none of them are able to go to the bathroom at this point because the toilets suck. They're all broken. Everything's messed up. Hank says, how do you spell it to begin with? I mean, he's just continuing down the road of these musings.
Oh, absolutely.
Fitz Kubiak says, Nate, these lofo toilets are junk. I'm voting with Hank. Ed says something. He goes, me too. I'm not sure I can even make it home. Hashaway looks at him and goes, you are a bunch of babies. Violet says, I'm changing my vote. Earl says, same here. And then Hashaway says, fine, have it your way, you do good and phonies. I hope you all rot in hell. Oh, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then he leaves.
Yeah, he's gone now.
Hank sees him leave, and he goes, well, it looks like Nate forfeits his vote. I vote yes. The repeal of Ordinance 621A passes, and I quit. And that is how politicians should be. You see Hank with his jacket thrown over his shoulder because he's done a good job. The whole board just kind of sighs. Bobby goes, way to go, Dad. You did it. And he's walking out with Peggy and Bobby, and she says, from now on, no one will flush a toilet in this town without thinking Hank Hill. Hank says, yeah, well, it's still worth it. And then he passes the men's room sign, or the men's room with a sign that says out of order on it, and that is it.
And that's the end of that one. That is the whole episode.
After the credits, you get a toilet flushing and Hank going, still?
Still?
Yeah. But it's a good, easy episode to watch.
Yeah, it was a fun episode.
And it still relates to things today, honestly, because toilets suck.
Yeah, it is. That was one of the most unfortunate things about being a human is excreting waste.
Yeah, I don't like it. I say we stop.
I don't mind pissing, but I'm not a fan of shitting.
Okay, well, that'll go on your tombstone.
Yeah.
All right, you want to tell these people where they can find more of this nonsense?
You can find us at pissgang.com.
Nope. No,
I'm just kidding. You can find us at bwaaakoth.com, or you could go to roguemedianetwork.com/bwaaakoth.
You got it. And we want to thank everybody for joining us for this episode, and we will see you next week for, what do we got? Season 4, episode 23. So we got
the
two
penultimate.
More. Two more, right? Yeah, penultimate episode.
I learned
episode.
That some seasons back.
It's perfect. Yeah. All right, guys. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on Friday.
We matanye.
We matanye indeed.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.